Welcome to Basic Gospel, everybody. With Bob Christopher, I'm Bob Davis. And we have open lines right now at 1-800-677-9377. This is your invitation to call and keep listening. You'll learn how the Basic Gospel intersects with your life every day. And if you have a Bible question or if there's some issue you're facing that you'd like to talk about, well, call now. 1-800-677-9377. The lines are wide open and we await hearing from you. 1-800-677-9377. So whether you're calling or listening, the Word of God can help you experience true freedom and life in Jesus Christ. It's Basic Gospel. Hear it, believe it, live it. Now here's Bob Christopher.
Well, thanks, Bob. The Basic Gospel is very simple. We can communicate it in three words. Jesus is alive.
Yes.
That is the good news. That's what everything hinges upon as far as this Word of God is concerned, and particularly in this new covenant. Let's look at what this really means to us here and now, the fact that Jesus was raised from the dead. The writer of Hebrews puts it this way, but because Jesus lives forever, if he had not been raised from the dead, then everything that follows this phrase and this verse, Hebrews 7:24, is meaningless.
Yeah.
But because he is alive, because he lives forever, he has a permanent priesthood. Therefore, he is able to save completely those who come to God through him, because he always lives to intercede for them. The fact that Jesus was raised from the dead gives him a permanent priesthood, and in this priesthood, in this office of high priest, he is able to save completely those who come to God through him. So we receive this great gospel message. We hear about Christ's death, burial, and resurrection. We come to God through him, and when we do, we're saved. Not just partially saved, not just temporarily saved, but completely saved. He gets us out of the water in which we were drowning. He puts us in the boat, and he delivers us safely to the shore. That's what Jesus Christ does. But here's the other aspect of his priesthood. I love what the writer of Hebrews says in chapter 2. He says this. Well, actually, it's chapter 4. Sorry about that. Therefore, since we have a great high priest, he's a great high priest. He has a permanent office because he lives forever. He has this office because he's gone through the heavens. Jesus Christ, the Son of God, let us hold firmly to the faith we profess. For we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but we have one who has been tempted in every way, just as we are, yet was without sin. Let us then approach the throne of grace with confidence, so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. So Jesus Christ lives forever. He has a permanent priesthood. And in this permanent priesthood, he saves completely those who come to God through him. And those who come to God through him, he sympathizes with them. He empathizes with them. He actually knows how we feel. And I know you may be sitting there listening to this right now, and you're thinking, how does Jesus Christ know what I feel? He doesn't know what I'm going through. He doesn't know what I'm struggling with. But the fact of the matter is this, yes, he does.
Yeah.
He has been tempted in every way, just as we are, but he was without sin. He received the full weight, the full measure of temptation. He got hammered by every single piece of weapon in Satan's arsenal. Man, we give in real easily.
Yeah.
All Satan has to use on us is conventional warfare. But with Jesus, he brought out the atomic stuff and nuclear stuff.
Yeah.
He felt the full weight. Yet he was without sin. So he knows what we're going through. And because he's alive, because he has this permanent priesthood, we can go to him, approach him with confidence, knowing that we're going to receive mercy and grace to help us in our time of need. Jesus is alive. Boy, it's a simple truth, but profound in meaning and application.
Absolutely. That is Basic Gospel, and that's what you're listening to, friends. Bob Christopher and Bob Davis on this edition. Richard Piper has the day off. Thank you for joining us. The phone lines are wide open. We want to hear from you at 1-800-677-9377. If you're experiencing some of these things we've been talking about, if there's some particular issue that's troubling you in life, we would like to discuss it with you. Give us a call at 1-800-677-9377. Same is true if you have a Bible question. 1-800-677-9377. Well, Bob David wrote to us from Washington, and he said, how do we reconcile disobedience to God's word with grace in the new covenant? He says, my church mixes law and grace all the time. In the same breath, they say that God sees us righteous through the prism of Jesus Christ and that he remembers our sins no more. Then they turn right around and say that if we don't obey his laws, like tithing, forgiving others so that God will forgive us, then the regulations added to the church body, such as if you want to be in leadership, you have to tithe correctly, you have to speak in tongues, you have to attend 2 mandatory prayer meetings a month, and if we don't obey, God will punish us, and we will reap what we have sown. It definitely seems like it is sin-conscious more than grace-conscious. What would you say? Is it time to leave this church?
Well, that's a decision that you're going to have to make between you and the Lord. You're going to have to be led by the Spirit. But just based on the description that you've given of the church, it has one foot in the law and one foot in grace. Yeah. It's very double-minded. And it's sending out a message that is very confusing and seemingly contradictory. Because if you hear on one hand that your sins are totally forgiven, that you've been declared righteous in the sight of God, but then on the other hand, if you don't do this and don't follow these rules and regulations, God's going to get you. That just totally negates what you've heard over here, the good news. And so you sit there and wonder what's right, what's true, which one of those hands do I follow?
Yeah.
And you just get so messed up. And that's not unusual. That has been the problem of the church since day one, and it continues to be the problem with the church today. We try to blend the old covenant with the new, and when we do, we lose the purpose and the power of each. The old covenant had a specific purpose, and that was to show us our need for Jesus Christ. We were lost. We were dead. But we go through life not realizing our problem. We think there's just a few little things wrong. If I could just clean up the mistakes and get a little forgiveness here, everything's going to be okay. But our problem is much more severe than that, and the law helps point that out for us, much like an X-ray machine would or an MRI. It looks inside, shows us what's going on. But that's its limitations. It can't cure us. It can't solve the problem. It just points the problem out. Most of us are like the law. We can easily point out the problem, but very few of us can figure out a solution.
Sure.
So that's the law's purpose. And once we come to that and realize the purpose of the law, that we need a Savior and we turn to Christ for salvation, the law steps aside. It sets itself aside to give way to the full power of Jesus Christ exerted through grace.
Right.
So we have to realize what those purposes are. And I love what the writer of Hebrews says in chapter 10. We read this the other day, but it talks about the fact that Jesus came to do the will of his Father. And he says, here's the will. He sets aside the first to establish the second.
Right.
So he set aside. Once that law fulfilled its purpose, Jesus Christ set it aside so that we could take up this new covenant banner, so that we could experience the fullness of God's love, God's life in Jesus Christ, God's grace in this new covenant. So we have to come to grips with the fact that Jesus set aside the old so that we could live in the new. And we have to reckon that true. We have to set aside the old so that we can pick up the new. And that's what we need to teach as pastors, as ministers, just as Bible study leaders. We need to teach the full weight of this new covenant message, because it's only there that folks are going to find freedom. It's only there that they're going to learn to say no to sin and yes to Jesus Christ. It's only there that they're going to see the fruit of God's Spirit lived out in them. It's only there that they're going to find true purpose in life. It's only there that they'll be able to grow in their relationship with God. So this is a vitally important thing. So what I always tell somebody who is in this person's shoes is this. If you have a platform in a particular church and you are able to communicate this new covenant message, keep going.
Yeah.
Whenever that platform is taken away from you, that's when you have some serious conversations with the Lord right. as to whether you stay or leave. And I think in most instances, you're probably going to go and find another church body to call home.
Yes, indeed. Well, David, hope you're listening. Hope that's been a help to you and to anyone else who might be experiencing some of the same things. Plenty of open lines, friends. This is, of course, a live broadcast on a Friday, and we want to hear from you. We have one reason for being here live, and that is to address your questions, to have you be a part of the broadcast. Bob, I think it's important for our listeners to understand, you know, that that is why we're here live. You know, otherwise, you know, we could come in one day a week and record five programs and just put them on the air every day like that. But that wouldn't leave the opportunity for our listeners to participate and pose those questions and get those questions answered and address the issues and needs of their lives. So, friends, that's why we're here, to address your questions and your particular needs on a live basis every day, Monday through Friday. So we want you to be a part of the broadcast. So pick up that phone right now if you have that question. 1-800-677-9377. Plenty of time on the clock. Plenty of open lines. 1-800-677-9377. Question from Kurt, who writes to us from Detroit. He says, this is concerning the book of James, chapter 5, verses 19 and 20. It says, in light of the new covenant, how do you explain James 5, 19 and 20? In other words, covering a multitude of sins and saving that person from death. What's the issue on that?
Well, it's a good question, and I love how he frames it in light of the new covenant. Within this particular chapter, we're seeing, you know, conflict. We're seeing turmoil. We're seeing relationships strained. It's much like what would happen in a church split. And he's giving some prescriptive measures on how to heal that church split. Confess your sins one to another. And then he comes to this conclusion, if one of you should wander from the truth and someone should bring him back, remember this, whoever turns a sinner from the error of his ways will save him from death and cover over a multitude of sins. It's easy for us to wander from the truth, especially in the midst of a conflict, in the midst of a fight with somebody else. Our flesh just rises up and wants its own way. Mm-hmm. And so it's easy to wander from the truth. And so he's simply saying, if you bring that person back, you're covering over a multitude of sins. You're in many ways preventing future or further sins from happening. Mm-hmm. It also can have meaning in this way, whoever turns a sinner. Usually when the Word of God uses the word sinner, it is specifically speaking of a lost person.
Sure, right.
And so bringing that person back to truth or to truth or to Jesus Christ, then you are saving them from death and covering over a multitude of sins. When somebody is changed, repents, goes from death to life, then the whole trajectory of their life changes.
Right.
And that's what this passage is talking about.
Okay, thanks, Bob. Well, again, open lines, 1-800-677-9377. If you can't get to the phone during the time we're actually on the air live, drop us an email at basicgospel.net. We'll be glad to address your question on a later edition of the broadcast.
Let's go to Temple Hills, Maryland, and talk to Jay, listening to us on WAVA. Hi, Jay.
Hey, how you doing today?
Doing great. Nice to hear from you.
Oh, thank you, sir.
How can we help you?
Actually, do you have time for three quick questions?
Well, if they're quick, I think we probably would.
Let's take them one at a time.
Okay. First question is the devil. Did he fall before man was created or after man was created?
Well, the Bible doesn't really say, but I think as you read Isaiah 14, that narrative of Satan's fall, it seems to be before creation. I mean, before the creation of man. That's how I take it. And certainly,
okay, so,
go ahead.
I'm sorry, but that makes me think about when it says, in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth. And, you know, is the earth, when he starts talking about in the beginning created the heavens and the earth, is the earth created by itself, or did he create the heavens and the earth? You know, because then that brings you back to the question, who fell first? Did the devil fall? And, you know, you understand what I'm trying to say?
Well, we're just trying to put a timeline to everything. And,
Yeah,
and the scripture really doesn't put the timeline as far as Satan is concerned. But we do know that Satan was a created being. God created Satan. He was created as Lucifer, one of the most beautiful angels of all. But then he tried to rise up to boot God off of his throne, and he was going to take that place. And so he fell from heaven. And in that fall, he was given access to earth, and he deceived Adam and Eve. They took the bite of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil and subjected all of mankind to sin and death. And I think that's as much of the detail as we really need to have. And I think that's as much of the detail as the scripture gives us.
Okay. All right.
Okay.
The other question, yes. The other question was, we have a friend that actually, they said they received Christ, but they still have the little Buddhist thing in their car, little statue. And without offending them, I try to tell them, you know, that's an idol. You know, you need to get rid of that. But they're coming from another country, but they accepted Christ. And I'm like, you're playing both sides. You're playing just in case. So was I wrong for doing that?
Well, no, Jay, I don't think you were wrong for doing that at all. I mean, I think you just said something that was true. I mean, that is just a statue, and you know, if you're worshiping it, that statue becomes an idol. And the sad thing is that that statue has no power at all. The only way it moves is if a human being goes over and picks it up and takes it from point A to point B, to worship that, to pay homage to that, to make it be something that more than it is. It's kind of foolish on our part. I love some of the passages in the Old Testament that really nail the idol worshipers. I mean, God asked those questions. You know, if it's going to get from point A to point B, how's it going to get there? Oh, I got to go pick it up and take it. It's like, so does it have any power to do anything in your life? So I think to bring awareness in that, Jay, I think that's a good thing on your part. With that, though, you need to leave it in the hands of God's Spirit. God's Spirit, if they're truly in Christ, if they've truly come to know Him and are born again, the Spirit of God is going to teach them about that. And He's probably going to take the words that you've used and help them come to some conclusion. So just leave that in the Lord's hands, okay?
Okay. All right.
All right, Jay. Hey, thanks for your call today. Let me put you on hold. We have a wonderful little resource we would love to send you called The Basic Gospel Journey. It really sets the foundation of this new covenant life that we have in Jesus Christ, and it's a life changer. It really is. If you embrace these truths, boy, everything changes for you, and we'd love to put it in your hands, Jay. You hang on, okay? You're welcome.
Thank you.
And Bob, for everyone who'd like to make a gift to Basic Gospel, we'd be glad to send that Basic Gospel Journey to you. It's a CD by Bob Christopher, Richard Piper, and I had a little part in it myself. We'd love to get it into your hands. Simply go to basicgospel.net and click the prominent link right there on the homepage, or call 1-800-727-2828. That's 1-800-727-2828, and make your gift and request your copy of the Basic Gospel Journey for a gift of any amount.
Yes, indeed. Well, let's go to New York and talk to Mario. Hi, Mario.
Hi, how are you guys?
Doing fantastic. How are you?
Good. I've been listening to you guys for about 2 months now, and I just left the church probably about 4 months, where I was in that same predicament with that gentleman who just called before about the law and grace.
Right.
And coming to the understanding now that it's only by grace and through the blood of Jesus Christ that we are saved. I live in New York City, and they just a few months ago, they approved homosexual or same-sex marriage. I want to be clear. I know what Romans says. I know what Leviticus says. Homosexual marriage, that is prohibited by the word of God. Is that correct?
Well, all sin is prohibited by the word of God, and homosexuality would fit into that. That is true. Marriage from the beginning has always been between a man and a woman. There were some purposes for that. The populating of the planet can't happen any other way. God just designed it to be between a man and a woman. That's you know, the nature of the sexual act, to bring forth other human beings. So it can't happen through the homosexual relationships. So that's a part of it. Did you have a specific question or?
No, that was it. I mean, I just, like I said, I live in New York City, and as you can imagine, there's quite a bit of, you know, that going around now. So you know, living and working, you do meet a lot of them, a lot of homosexuals. And I was just trying to, you know, I was going about it the wrong way. I was just picking battles just for the sake of picking a battle. And I've learned.
It never works out too well, does it?
No, it doesn't.
Yeah.
I've been talking to them now in a different way, what you guys talk about, the grace of God and showing God's love. And I think that is, people need to fall in love with God, not give people a set of rules of you can't do this, you can't do that. I think that'll come as the Holy Spirit works in their lives.
Well, Mario, here's the deal. You know, the two big issues that are out there as far as Christians are concerned, abortion and homosexuality. And we want to make a stand and say, here's what the Bible has to say about those things. But then you meet, you know, Mary, who, you know, has struggled in life, was got pregnant as a teenager and didn't know what to do, and just, you know, in the heat of the moment decided that abortion was the route to take, and she went and had the abortion. And now, as a believer, you've been introduced to Mary, and she tells you that story. What are you going to tell her? Well, wow. You're going to tell her about the love of Jesus Christ. Mm-hmm. You're going to tell her that God doesn't count that against her, that the blood of Jesus Christ has done something with sin, and there's this offer of life that's on the table, and that she, as a person who is dead spiritually, can come to life in Jesus Christ. And it's the same thing. You meet somebody that says, I'm a homosexual, and you say, oh, you can pound them and say you're a sinner and you blah, 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 and all of that. But I think the grace of God changes the language, changes what you say to them, and says, you know, God has this offer of life for you in Jesus Christ. Do you want life? Real life, not just the stuff that was passed on to you by your parents. You'll find that to be empty. You'll find relationships to be empty. But if you come to Christ, you'll find real life. That's the good news of the gospel. That's what we need to communicate. Well, thanks, Mario. Thanks for your call. You hang on.
Guys, we have a very special CD entitled The Basic Gospel Journey, and a copy can be yours for a gift of any amount to Basic Gospel. You know, equally important with your gift to help ensure the continuation of this radio broadcast, where you live, where you work, and where you play, is the experience of life in Jesus Christ. And this is what the Basic Gospel Journey can lead you to discover. So we hope you'll take advantage of this opportunity. You know, the truth is, we have to pay for airtime for this broadcast. And for that reason, we are, of course, dependent upon the gifts and prayers of people like you. It's you, through your gifts, who keep this good news on the air. God's grace in Jesus Christ every day. So request your copy of The Basic Gospel Journey today and make your most generous gift to support this radio outreach. Just visit basicgospel.net or phone 1-800-727-2828. Again, that's basicgospel.net or 1-800-727-2828. While you're at basicgospel.net, click subscribe in the upper menu to join our email list. In October, you're going to want to be on that list, because we're going to be sending out day-by-day synopsis via email to preview our 23-day study on the book of Revelation. So click subscribe at basicgospel.net, and you'll be all set for that exciting study. Well, now for Bob Christopher, Richard Pfeiffer, and the ministry staff, Bob Davis, wishing you a great weekend of the Lord Jesus Christ. We'll see you on Monday. Bye-bye.